بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. The subject for this night, the night of the 12th of the month of Safar, year 1429, after the immigration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is the night of the 12th of March, corresponding to the night of the 12th of March, year 2006 of the current era. The subject title is Al-Qibla and rulings on facing the Qibla in the prayers. The Qibla is the Kaaba. The Qibla is the Kaaba. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to Medina following his migration, he used to direct himself in the direction of Baytul Maqdis in the prayers, the direction of Jerusalem, because he used to like to follow or rather agree with the people of the book in that where there is no command to do otherwise. Then afterwards, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was commanded to oppose them, and he disliked to agree with them. He stayed facing Baytul Maqdis for a period of 16 or 17 months. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to command him to direct himself facing the Kaaba in the Salah. This is proven in the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 144. قال الله تعالى قد نرى تقلب وجهك في السماء فلنولينك قبلة ترضاها فولي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيثما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطرة. Verily we have seen the turning of your face, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the heaven. Surely we shall turn you to a qibla that shall please you. So turn your face in the direction of al-Masjid al-Haram. And wheresoever you people are, turn your faces in prayer in that direction. So, while people were praying in the Masjid of Qiba or Quba in Medina, this was a known place in the city of Medina, the Masjid to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred as a Masjid of Taqwa, as in Surah At-Tawbah 9:108. لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه. Verily the mosque whose foundation was laid from the first day on piety is more worthy that you stand therein to pray. So while they were praying Salat al-Subh, the Salat of Fajr, a man came from outside Medina and said that the Prophet ﷺ received revelation. Revelation had been sent down to him, Quranic revelation, and that he was commanded to direct his face in the direction of Al-Kaaba in Mecca. So they turned. While their faces originally were in the direction of Ash-Sham, the greater Syria area, they turned in the other direction with their faces towards the Kaaba and their backs towards Ash-Sham. So in this narration, we learn an important benefit. أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلَ Quran. A Quran was sent down tonight upon him. This is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything. And in this also, there is another important benefit. And that is the acceptance of the news of a single person. Because the companions turned in the direction of Al-Qibla, of Mecca. When they heard the news from a single companion. So, regarding these news of the religious type, sufficient, as the ulama say, sufficient is the khabar, the report of one person. So, if someone tells you that the sun had set and that he is trustworthy, so take by his report and break your fast if you were fasting, and make Salat al-Maghrib, because the report of a single person in matters of deen is acceptable. Now, the question is, what is to be faced? What is to be faced? If the person is able to see the Kaaba, then it is obligatory upon him to face it itself in essence. But if he is unable to see it, then the obligation is to face its direction. There is a mistake by many people who pray in the haram, itself. They don't direct themselves to the Kaaba itself. And this is a great danger, because this necessitates the invalidity of their salah. And as to the person who is unable to see the Kaaba, then the obligation is to face the direction. And the directions are four. North, as we know, south, east, and west. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people of Medina, the people in Medina, he told them, between the east and the west, there is Qibla. Why? Because the Medina falls north to Mecca. Now you try to imagine the directions. Medina falls north to Mecca. So therefore, if the north is the position of Medina, then the direction of the Qibla is between the east and the west. So therefore, if you incline slightly from the direct direction, you are still in the wider direction, so this does not harm you. And the more you are far away from the Kaaba, the wider the direction becomes. And the closer you are, the narrow it becomes. So if the city or town falls now to the east of Mecca, then we say between the north and south there is Qibla. And if your place is to the west of Mecca, then also we say between the north and the south there is Qibla. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us for making things easy. Because targeting the essence of the Kaaba from far away is something very difficult. Rather, it may be not possible. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy upon us. And He made it an obligation for us to face the jihad, the direction. We go in the direction of the Qibla. Now, facing the Qibla is a condition for the validity of the Salah. Is a condition for the validity of the Salah. Except in three cases. First case, incapacity. For example, an ill person who cannot move and no one can direct him to the Qibla. Then in this case, he directs himself in the direction of his face. And the evidence for this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah to the best of your ability. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope. And also because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. If I command you with something, then do of it that which you are able to do. So this is the first exception. The second exception is fear. Al-khawf. Fear. If the person is frightened from something, an enemy, running away from an enemy, for example, and the path he takes running away from his enemy is opposite to the direction of the Qibla, then in this case, his facing of the Qibla drops, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 4, verse 238 and 239, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين فإن خفتم فرجالا أو ركبانا. Guard strictly five obligatory salawat, prayers, especially the middle salah, and stand before Allah with obedience. And if you fear an enemy, perform salah on foot or riding. This also itself, yes, this is Al-Baqarah chapter 2, that's right. This also may fall under the same exception mentioned earlier, meaning incapacity, because the one who is running away from his enemy is unable to face the Qibla. Because if he would stop to face the Qibla, then his adu, his enemy, may take him over. The third exception. The optional prayer while traveling. So the traveler may initiate his prayer by directing himself to the Qibla, then goes with the direction of his face on his mount, whether in a car, on a camel, on a horse, on a plane, on a ship. And the Prophet ﷺ did that. And he prayed the optional prayers like witr also. But he did not pray the fard, the obligatory ones, on his mount. And the wisdom from this is making the nafila, the optional prayer, easy for people to conclude and to conduct. If it is possible, on the other hand, like if someone is in a train, if it is possible for him, and it's not difficult for him to direct himself towards the Qibla, then he does so, even in the optional prayer. But if it is difficult, then he takes the direction of his face. Now, what is the way to verify the direction of the Qibla? What is the way to verify the direction of the Qibla? What is the way to know the Qibla? We say that if the person is in a city or town, if the person is in a city or in a town, he may verify the Qibla and know the Qibla by way of the masajid, the mosques. Because the direction of the mosques are in the direction of the Qibla. And if he is traveling on a journey, he may use the sun and the moon as his marks for direction towards the Qibla, because they arise from the east and set in the west. Ash-shams wal-qamar, the sun and the moon, arise from the east and set in the west. So, if he is in an area which is north to Mecca, so if he then intends to direct himself to the Qibla, then he puts the sun or the rising of the sun direction to his left. To his left. And if he is south of Mecca, he takes the sunrise direction to his right. And if he is west of Mecca, then he makes the sunrise direction in front of him. And if he is east of Mecca, then he puts it behind him. This is during the daylight. What about during the night? Then he takes the mark of the stars. For example, one of those stars is the North Star, clear one. So, if you were in the east of Mecca, or to the east of Mecca, then the North Star will be to the back of your right ear, will be to the back of your right ear. So you put it behind your right ear. And if you were north, then the North Star will be behind you. And so you do in every direction. We know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the redirecting towards Mecca, we know that the companions moved while in salah. And this is for the benefit of salah, isn't it? Because the command came to redirect towards the Qibla. So they moved, they made a move for the benefit of the salah. And thus, their move was an obligatory one. Because it's inevitable that they must face the Qibla. And therefore here we need to talk about the movement in salah. We need to talk about the movement in salah. The movements in salah can be classified into five categories. Wajiba, obligatory. First. Second, mustahabba, recommended or praiseworthy. Third, muharrama, forbidden. Fourth, makruha, disliked. And fifth, mubaha, allowable. The movement which is obligatory, the movement which is obligatory is the one upon which an obligation depends, or abstaining from something unlawful. Like, for example, if a person is told that the Qibla is to his right, for example, while in the prayers. Therefore, it's a must upon him, it's obligatory upon him, to move so as to face the Qibla, the Kaaba. Also, the like of this is if a person is praying alone behind the row, then it becomes clear to him that there is a gap in the row in front of him. Then the movement to close this gap and for him to enter the row becomes, in this case, obligatory. Also, if the avoidance of something haram depends upon this movement, then it becomes obligatory. Like, for example, a man praying and sees on his head cover or turban or hat, sees some impurity, some filth. So in this case, he must move to take off this head cover containing this filth. And from this is the incident which took place with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam while he was making the salah, leading the people in salah, and he told him that there is some najasa, some filth on his shoes. So he took them off. This is an obligation. Taking them off is an obligation. This is concerning the first category, when the movement in salah is obligatory. Second, when the movement is praiseworthy or recommendable or recommended. This is when a recommended action depends upon it. Take, for example, a group of three established the congregational prayer. One stood to the right of the imam, and the other stood to his left. In this case, the imam would push them to his back, behind him. This pushing is recommendable, is recommended. Also, this is recommended if doing it would prevent from committing something disliked. Like, for example, if in front of you there is something of the decoration type, for example, then it is recommended for you to take them away, move them away, because they distract you. And by taking them away, you are taking something which is disliked, removing something which is disliked. And from that, if a person feels that he needs to scratch, he's got something scratching on his head or on his hand or something, and it's distracting him, so he needs to scratch it. So in this case, it is recommended for him to scratch that, to cool it off. And this happens a lot. Now, the movement in salah is forbidden if it's frequent and successive without necessity. Some of the scholars mentioned that the frequency is determined by three moves or three movements. So if the person makes three consecutive moves without need, then this nullifies the prayer. Other scholars, rahimahumullah, mentioned that we have no right to limit this to a number, because this requires a dalil, an evidence. However, what's considered to be many moves is what is considered by people to be many moves. What people consider to be many moves, then it is. Such that if the person is seen doing that, it would appear that as if he is not praying because of these many moves. And these moves are to be consecutive, one after the other, and without a need to do so. So, for example, we see this person doing many moves, checking his garment or his hat, sometimes taking a pen out, and sometimes writing something which he remembers during the Salah, consecutively doing this. And these are therefore moves without need to do them. But if, on the other hand, if a person is praying and then he hears some sounds behind him, and out of the sudden there is a beast or a lion or something coming at him while in prayer, so he runs away. Although in this case he is making many moves, but this is for a necessity, and therefore this does not nullify his prayers. Now, the fourth movement in Salah is that which is disliked. These are few moves and slight, few moves, while there is no need for them. And people do this a lot nowadays. Some, you see them looking at their watch during Salah. And it is the shaitan who incites these people to move or to make such moves, unnecessary moves. The final category is the movement that is allowable. These are slight moves, because they may be needed, or many moves because of necessity. There remains one kind of category, or one category, which is the core of the Salah, and that is the heart movement. If the heart is directed to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the believer feels that he is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands, between his hands, and he has a sincere longing to draw near to Allah in this salah, and he fears him, then in this case, his heart will be present. And in submissiveness and humility. And this is the most perfect situation. If otherwise, then his heart will go in all directions. As in the hadith, the person will leave the salah and half of it written for him, or one fourth, or one tenth, or even less. So the movement of the heart is a defect in salah. It does not, however, nullify it. So this self-talk which may occur in the salah, this is a defect in salah, takes out of its perfection, but it does not nullify it. Some of the rulings in the salah concerning the qibla in salah, that are important to remind ourselves of. First, the salah of the one who is incapacitated and who cannot face the qibla and no one to direct him to it in salah, then he may pray in the direction of his face, even though the qibla may be in the opposite direction. Second, with respect to the person on a journey or a travel, it is better for him to initiate his salah, opening the salah by directing himself to the qibla. Then he directs himself in the direction of his face while he is on his mount or in the car or on the plane. So if a person is in a plane and wants to perform nafil prayer, then he may do so on his chair in any direction the plane goes. But if he intends to perform the fariḍa prayer and the plane would not arrive to its destination, to the airport, before the end of the prescribed time, then in this case he prays in the plane, directs himself to the qibla to the best of his ability, and should not delay the salah beyond its prescribed time, because this is forbidden, haram. Take for example, if you are in a plane and after the commencement of Salat al-Asr's time, you are going from west to east, and you fear that if you delay the Salah, then the sun will set before your arrival to the airport. In this case, you pray the Salah on its time, and direct yourself to the Qibla to the best of your ability. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. What's the ruling of slight inclination away from the direction of the qibla? This does not affect the salah in other than the al-masjid al-haram, in other than the Al-Masjid Al-Haram. in the sacred mosque, however, and with the possibility of seeing the Kaaba, you are in a place where you can see the Kaaba. If you incline away from this, then your salah is nullified, because the obligation is to direct yourself to the essence of the Kaaba itself. But if you are far away and it's not possible to see the Kaaba, or there is hardship in seeing it, then in this case the slight inclination is not harmful. What about in case the masjid itself is inclined from the away from the direction of the Qibla? Here, if the inclination does not take the person totally off the direction, then it's not harmful. But if it takes him totally off from the direction of the Qibla, for example, if he is directing himself to the direction of the south, while the Qibla is in the direction of the east, there is no doubt here that the Qibla of the masjid must be adjusted, or the person must direct himself in the direction of the Qibla, even though he may differ from the direction of the masjid itself. What about if a person prays to other than the direction of the Qibla, and in the Kaaba meaning? This depends. If the person, the first situation, if the person is in a place where it's not possible for him to know the Qibla, like for example, he is traveling on a journey and there are a lot of clouds, the sky is very cloudy, and he does not know the positions of the stars, if at night, and there is nobody to ask about the Qibla, and so he is unable to know its direction. In this case, he prays by exerting the effort to the best of his ability. Then if afterwards it becomes known to him that he prayed to other than the Qibla, then there is nothing upon him. Second situation, if he is in a place where it is possible to ask about the Qibla, as in a town or in a city where there are Muslims, but he was negligent and careless, so the one in this situation must make up the prayers which they made in a direction other than the direction of the Qibla, whether he knew before the end of the prescribed time or afterwards. However, if the inclination is slight, then there is nothing harmful. If someone says that he rented a house or a home and he prayed therein for 10 years or so, and afterwards it became apparent that he prayed to other than the Kaaba direction, then in this case, he should make up the salah. Because he was negligent. He did not ask. And the ruling is that the one who abandons the command is not sinful if he abandons it due to ignorance, but it's a must upon him to make up the salah. These are some of the points of benefit regarding the Qibla and the Salah and some rulings. There remains one case. If a group of people in a masjid are praying or pray, and in the Qibla of the masjid there is a bathroom area, is the Salah valid? The answer is yes, it is valid. Because of the hadith of the Prophet والسلام, when he said, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا, the earth has been made for me as a masjid and clean and pure place. However, there could be some bad smells coming out from these places, which may affect the person in the prayer and distract him. Another case, in some situations during the winter time, in some of the masajid, some of the mosques, they put some heaters, electric heaters or the like. Is this lawful or disliked? The scholars, rahimahumullah, disagreed regarding the prayers in the direction of fire. Some considered this to be makruh, disliked. Others didn't. Those who disliked it, considered it to be disliked, they reasoned that in this there is resemblance for those people who worshipped the fire from the Magians and the like. However, it is known that those who worshipped the fire, they worshipped the fire that had flames, the flameless fire. Therefore, it is entailed that it is not to be disliked. And people need these electrical heaters during the winter times. This brings the last point of benefit concerning this. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And these points of benefit regarding this matter were based upon the discussions of our Shaykh rahimahullah in more than one class he had. والحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يتقبل هذا منا ومنكم. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from me and you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon our Shaykh and all the noble scholars of Islam. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.